did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reveal is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Support for Reveal comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between, and they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/reveal. That's odoo.com/reveal.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. But before we dive into today's show, we want to tell you what's going on here at Reveal. So we're about to go from a monthly radio show to a weekly show. That means we will be producing four times as many stories as we are right now. Now, if you've been following our show for a while, you know the kind of detailed storytelling we bring you weekly. Behind each story, there are reporters, editors, producers, engineers, and many others who work for months, sometimes years, to bring you the stories that, well, you just won't hear anywhere else. And we need your help. We've launched a Kickstarter campaign to help fund our reporting and give you even more stories in 2016. We have some pretty great rewards, many of them coming right from the team behind Reveal, like a handmade Bluetooth-enabled radio, playlists curated by our reporters, one-of-a-kind voicemails, storytelling coaching from yours truly, and much, much more. Check us out on Kickstarter, and thank you for your support. And this next piece is an example of the kind of story you'll be hearing. It's a co-production with New Hampshire Public Radio and one of their reporters, who spent the last year doing story after story about one place in New Hampshire. And in that time, there was something that he'd never done. He'd never actually went to this place. That is, until a few months ago.
Okay, so we're pulling up, and it's this huge, expansive facility with a big metal gate around it. Looks like there's an orchard?
Yes, it's an apple orchard. There's a lower orchard, and there's an upper orchard.
It's really pretty.
That's Jack Rodolico, a reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio. He's approaching Lakeview Neuro Rehabilitation Center, close to the Maine border, in the foothills of the White Mountains. It's a Sunday morning in July, about 8 a.m. Why such an odd time? Well, Jack has asked the people who run Lakeview for a tour, but he's always been refused. So he arranged with one of the staff psychologists, a guy named Morris Reagan, to give him a clandestine tour.
It's quite a hill to get up from the road to the buildings, wow.
Yeah, and you, it's challenging in the winter.
It's also peaceful and beautiful. There's a cluster of office buildings in the middle of campus, then cabins scattered around in the woods.
All right, so we're on the grounds.
We're looking straight ahead at the administration building, the high school. Three of the cabins, Monterey 1, 2, and 3, are now vacant. Monterey 3 is the place where we had our most recent sexual assault.
Jack has been reporting on conditions at Lakeview, sexual assaults on patients, and other allegations including abuse and neglect. At its peak, Lakeview had about 88 patients. When Jack went in July, the place was in deep trouble. There were only about 10 clients left. Staff were getting laid off left and right. Morris, the psychologist, would be gone within a week. But that day, he told Jack about the constant problems the staff had with patients running away.
Well, you can see just from the facility here how, if a resident were to take off, how difficult it would be to find them. There's tall grass. It's easy to get over or under the fences.
There was an incident like around New Year's where somebody got out of the shower and like went under a fence naked.
Yeah, that would have been particularly dangerous. because this is a dark place at night. Once you're gone, you're gone.
We're going to spend a lot of time talking about this one place in the woods in New Hampshire. And there's good reason for that. You know, the more we found out about Lakeview's sordid history, the more we realized the abuse that happened here is connected to abuse at other rehab centers around the country, owned by a small group of people. And it's been going on for decades. In fact, we're going to tell you the story backwards. We'll start at the end and work our way to the beginning, tracing a long line of problematic institutions with owners who face little accountability. So we're going to let Jack tell the story from the beginning, or really, the end.
My coverage of Lakeview started as a job and turned into a kind of obsession. And part of that obsession was driven by the fact that someone died there. I found out about the facility after an advocacy group started investigating complaints. Their reports alleged abuse and neglect of four patients, one of whom was a 22-year-old man with autism. He died at Lakeview. Lakeview's residents came from all over the country, from Hawaii to New York. Social workers, special education departments, state bureaus responsible for people with disabilities, they all sent people to Lakeview. It was fully accredited and licensed, and it marketed itself as a place that would take people no one else would.
I went to visit Lakeview, and I thought it was great.
Jennifer Cody lives in Lebanon, Maine. Her son, Ryan Libby, was a Lakeview client in 2011.
I really had to rally to get him there. It was a lot of work to get him there.
Jennifer was motivated because her son was in a crisis at age 11, living in a psychiatric hospital in Maine. Ryan is autistic and he can't talk, but he also has Crohn's disease, which causes severe pain in his belly. So when Ryan is in pain,
he starts rocking violently. He rocks really, really hard.
Jennifer needed a place that had it all: medical care, psychiatrists, a school, and 24-hour-a-day care. But a few weeks after she dropped her son off, Jennifer visited Ryan with his social worker. They took Ryan for a drive off campus.
So we went to change him in the car, and when we took his pants off, we noticed his legs, his upper legs, completely covered in bruises. That devastated me. I've never seen him and bruises like that.
Did you suspect that he had done it to himself?
No. At his worst crisis, he has never had marks on him like that, ever.
When Jennifer brought Ryan back to the Lakeview campus that day, the staff told her they didn't know what had happened to him. A week or so later, Jennifer pulled her son from Lakeview and took him to the hospital. A nurse counted 22 marks all over Ryan's body, purple and yellow bruises everywhere, severe diaper rash, and a big bald spot on top of his head. Ryan had been at Lakeview for a month. Lakeview never explained what happened to Ryan. That wouldn't have surprised Linda Blumpkin, another Lakeview mom. Linda lives in New York City, and her daughter is Jessica Klerfeld. Jessica is autistic and has a rare genetic disorder.
You basically had people like Jessica with severe behavioral challenges who were left in the care of untrained and unsupervised people.
A nurse admitted Jessica to Lakeview, but that nurse signed off as a psychiatrist on the paperwork. Another time, Lakeview's medical director, without even examining Jessica, prescribed her a foot fungal ointment for a vaginal yeast infection. And then there were repeated incidents while Jessica was bathing.
Jessica was a young lady in her early 20s being observed undressed by male staff, including one who insisted on scrubbing her back while she was in the bathtub.
Linda complained to Lakeview again and again. Nothing changed. Her daughter wasn't getting the education and psychological therapy Lakeview had promised. So Linda Blumpkin broke the mold in a long line of disgruntled Lakeview families. That's because she had the skill set needed to ferret out the responsible parties.
So basically, at one level, I'm a Harvard-educated lawyer. At another level, I'm a Jewish mother who was born in Brooklyn, right? You know the phenomenon.
So what is an Ivy League-educated Jewish mother to do? From an apartment in New York City, 320 miles away, she didn't feel like she could protect her daughter. So she went over Lakeview's head. She reached out to New Hampshire regulators.
You know, I just did whatever I could to dig around, to get into whatever bureaucracies looked as if they might be willing to offer some aid and support.
Linda essentially bird-dogged bureaucrats. She called them, wrote epic emails, and she documented her interactions with them, even recording phone calls without their knowledge. That's illegal in New Hampshire, but not in New York, where she was calling from.
That's up to Lakeview.
Sir, whatever your authority is to order them to do things, you...
John Martin was then head of the New Hampshire unit that licensed Lakeview. This bureau had the power to sanction Lakeview for abuse, neglect, or inadequate health care.
According to your bureau, Lakeview has a clean record. They're a splendid facility that's not in violation of anything.
That's exactly right. As far as their clinical inspections go, they have been deficiency-free for at least the last 4 years.
Linda got the sense New Hampshire regulators had a too cozy relationship with Lakeview. For one thing, Lakeview seemed to know whenever she complained to the state. Lakeview began to put up roadblocks to keep Linda and her ex-husband from seeing their daughter, and they told Linda that since she was so unhappy with the program, Jessica should be discharged.
To which we had said, there's nothing that we would rather do, but as you know...
New York couldn't find another placement for her. She was stuck in New Hampshire.
So when Tina Trudell suggested that we meet with her at an office that they had in New York...
Tina Trudell was Lakeview's COO.
We thought it would be prudent for our own protection to record the conversation, which I did.
Tina Trudell had no idea she was being recorded.
So I wanted to meet today to just talk about the whole issues with communication and your clear dissatisfaction with the program.
After just a few minutes, Trudell says regulators are complaining to her about Linda.
I even have state officials saying, why is this kid still here? We keep getting harassed by these people. You know, what are you doing about it? And I have to come to terms with that.
State officials have told you that they're being harassed by us?
Trudell blamed Linda's communication style. She said Linda's hostility was alienating her daughter's caregivers. Trudell, who is a psychologist, even suggested Linda go to therapy.
You may or may not have considered how your distress manifests itself, and if that's something that you would consider counseling for.
Linda declined the offer. For almost 2 hours, she just kept making the point that the care at Lakeview was dysfunctional at every level.
If I communicate to you factual information reflecting something that has enormous impact on Jessica's life, and you don't want to hear, and you say that I'm complaining...
You're doing this again, and what you're not hearing...
We asked Tina Trudell to talk to us about what happened at Lakeview, but she turned us down. As for Jessica, her care was costing a lot, over $1,000 a day. And because of the type of disability she had, the state of New York was required to pick up the bill. So when Linda Blumkin got in touch with New York regulators, they started investigating. They found abuse and potential fraud. Lakeview denied this, but I spoke with a lot of Lakeview employees, people like Danny Adams.
They didn't want people to leave. They didn't want them to get better. The plan was to keep them there and continue to collect their money and do that as cheaply as possible.
Danny was weekend manager at Lakeview in 2013, a year the facility took in close to $22 million. $5.5 million of that was profit. Danny says the company's executives taught employees how to get the most money from Medicaid.
This is how it was done. If there was a TV on in the main room of the house and there was more than one individual watching that TV, they could bill for a social interaction group.
What he's saying is Lakeview was sending a bill to Medicaid for plopping a few clients in front of a TV. And after a couple of hours,
they would change the channel and figure out between the individuals who were watching the TV if that channel was acceptable for them. So there's 2 hours of billing for community decision making and so on. So
Wait a minute. So you're saying the decision of choosing the show was billed as a service?
Yes. It's like it was a matching game. All right, what does this activity match? Let's put it in that. Boom.
So this all sounds kind of technical, right? Medicaid bills, doctored paperwork. But on the ground, it all had a very real and very dangerous impact. And to the best of your knowledge, I mean, ultimately, was Lakeview billing for one-to-ones when they weren't providing them?
Yes.
A one-to-one means Lakeview had promised to provide a patient with one staff member all the time. One-to-ones were reserved for patients with serious behavior problems or unstable medical conditions, and they're expensive. In an email, Lakeview told me their average charge per client was $292,000 a year. That price jumped when a client needed one-to-one attention. A lot of patients were supposed to get this service, but they often didn't.
Which is why I said it's kind of a scam. You know, they kept just enough staff on hand to be able to bill for those services if nothing ever went wrong.
But things went wrong all the time.
On June 9th of this year, an 18-year-old named Joelle vanished from the residential treatment home where she was living, setting off an all-out search and heavy media coverage. Joelle was found 2 days later at the top of a mountain in Effingham.
A 911 call log documents almost 1,000 calls from Lakeview in 5 years. Clients pulled fire alarms to get attention and disappeared in the woods. There were medical emergencies from seizures to a broken hip. And just about every week, the state received a complaint about abuse at Lakeview. Clients beat up staff, staff beat up clients, and there were a startling number of sexual assaults. Staff on client, client on staff, and client on client. Morris Reagan, the psychologist who showed me around Lakeview, says no one got better there. There were too few staff and too many challenging patients who quickly learned they could do whatever they wanted.
They didn't have to get out of bed in the morning. They didn't have to go to school. If they went to school, they didn't have to study. If they wanted to break something, they could.
At one point, you called Lakeview like a high-priced homeless shelter.
Someone else there referred to Lakeview as the trailer park of neuro rehab facilities.
This is the environment where a young man with Asperger's syndrome named Corey Horian came for care in 2012. He was only supposed to be at Lakeview for a short stay, but 72 days after he was admitted, he died.
Hello.
Hello.
Linda Anderson is Corey's grandmother, and she's suing Lakeview based on the findings of the Disabilities Rights Center. They're the advocacy group that investigated Lakeview. They say Corey's health declined dramatically while he was there. He stopped taking medication for his seizure disorder, and he lost about 6 pounds a week. Lakeview never told this to his family, but his grandmother knew something was wrong when she talked to him on the phone just a few days before he died.
He was just making this awful sound in the phone. He couldn't even talk. It sounded like he was without his medication. I know this because I've heard the sound before.
Here's what the Disabilities Rights Center says happened on the day Corey died. He had a grand mal seizure in the middle of the night. At 5 a.m., a staff member found him naked on the floor of his room in a puddle of his own urine. And the staff member left Corey there without telling anyone. Over 4 hours, staff entered his room at least 4 times. Each time, they saw Corey on the floor, and they didn't call for help. At 9 a.m., when a nurse checked on him, he was blue in the face. When he got to the emergency room, Corey was pronounced dead.
How did you find out that he had died?
I got a phone call. I don't know who it was. He says, your grandson is dead. It's a cruel thing.
Linda says Corey's mother, her daughter, died of cancer when he was only 4 years old.
He's always, all his life, he's asked for his mother. He wanted to be with his mother. At least he got his wish, didn't he? He's with his mother. It's too bad he got it in the way he did, though. I'm sorry, but...
When the Disabilities Rights Center published their report, New Hampshire Governor Maggie Hassan shut down new admissions. She ordered an investigation of both Lakeview and the regulators who failed to stop abuse there. And that's when Lakeview fell apart at the seams. States started pulling their clients. Regulators were at Lakeview all the time, but really bad things just kept happening. State records show patients routinely went missing, a handgun was found in the staff break room, and a client allegedly raped another client. As all this was happening, Lakeview claimed their clients were in good hands. For a year, I've been asking Lakeview officials to talk to me. They always declined. But I caught up with Chris Slover, Lakeview's owner, just once, the day he announced he was closing the facility.
I think the vast majority of the parents and clients and staff members at Lakeview are doing their very best to make sure that those folks are safe and served in the least restrictive environment. And I think that we do an excellent job and have helped thousands of people, and it's too bad that that won't continue.
But it might continue. When we put this show together, Lakeview was empty, the buildings and the grounds deserted. The state of New Hampshire had pulled all of Lakeview's licenses, forcing it to close. And it did, but at the same time, Lakeview CEO Chris Slover created a new company that would work with the same type of clients on the same grounds as Lakeview. In an upcoming podcast, we'll see how this is a cycle that's happened before. Coming up next week, Jack takes us back to Lakeview's early days with a story of someone who is still haunted by what happened to her there.
I mean, it's 17 years later, and it's still, I still have nightmares about it. It still affects me in everything that I do.
That story and a bizarre love triangle coming up next Tuesday. For an interactive look at all the major players in the story you just heard, go to revealnews.org. And seriously, how are we doing? Let us know what you think of the show. Tell us what we're doing well and what we could do better. You can take a quick survey by heading over to surveynerds.com/reveal. That's surveynerds.com/reveal. Feel free to tell them that you absolutely adore the host. Much appreciated. Our show was edited by Deb George and produced by Laura Starcheski in partnership with Jack Rodolico and New Hampshire Public Radio. We had additional editing help from Sarah Ashworth, Josh Rogers, and Amy Pyle. Julia B. Chan is our digital editor, and our lead sound designer and engineer is my man, Prezus, Jim Briggs. Krista Scharfenberg is our head of studios. Suzanne Reber is our executive editor, and our executive producer is Kevin Sullivan. Support for Reveal is provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. I'm Al Ledson. Remember, there's always more to the story.
Support for Reveal comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between, and they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/reveal. That's odoo.com/reveal.